just show yourself grace with it, really. Don't get down on yourself, whatever your awkward is. It's not that serious to where you need to be upset about it. Like, everybody is awkward in some way. It's just one of those things. So don't get down on yourself about it. Own it.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. We've got an amazing guy to talk to today. I always love connecting with other local people who are doing great things in the community. And Kevin Johnson is here today with Four Evergreen. He's doing an amazing thing, promoting local businesses and bringing a culture to the area. Kevin, how are you today?
I am doing well, Andy. How are you doing?
I am excellent. This is one of the favorite parts of my job is getting to talk to people, to put them on the spot, find out about their awkward and just hear about all the great things people are doing. This, I just get pumped up for this.
Absolutely. I think that is the best way to showcase one's authentic self. So if you have people on, you're having people on talking about what they're awkward with. To them, it's awkward. To everybody else, it might not be. To some people, it might be way too awkward.
Yeah.
And I think it's vulnerable and it's relatable because somebody could be watching and be like, that's my awkward.
Yeah.
All right. That's my awkward.
Exactly. And that was when I started talking about this awkward thing and getting the message out there, I realized, you know, there's only so much that my story is going to do. And there's only so much connection I can have with people as far as I only have my perspective and my story to share. And I hope that that helps and resonates with people, but there's people from every angle that are dealing with so many other things that have a similar path or exploration along the way. And you've got to expose that and get it out there and make it bigger than just my thing. So
absolutely. 100%.
I love it. Well, Kevin, I like to start out just kind of getting a gauge on where people are seeing good in the world and what you see as the most positive thing right now from where you sit.
That is a very intriguing question. Because I feel like there's a lot of good going on that we know about, but we see so much of what's not good. I don't necessarily want to say bad or wrong, but we see things that are not good and it just kind of takes our attention away. Mm-hmm. I think the good things that I'm seeing right now are more community focused. I had an opportunity to be a part of the Pierce County Business Accelerator for their last session that they just got done with in June. And it made me very happy. And it was a very happy thing to see these small business owners and people wanting to start businesses all coming together to learn how to better do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sponsored ad. They're not paying me to say that. But
it is a great program, though.
It is a great program. I'm very grateful that I was allowed to be a part of it. I mean, mm-hmm. most people wouldn't want to give up 6 weeks of their life to do something like that. And I felt that personally, it was more about community networking and just seeing what else is out there and seeing who else is out there. And a lot of good things came from that, of being in there. I'm in a Facebook group with a few people. People are moving into new commercial spaces that, you know, thanks to the accelerator, they're defining what their business actually is. There was a couple people in the class who weren't too sure what exactly they wanted their business to be. And mm-hmm. I've heard from them and they've figured it out. They've dialed it in. I think that the first event I went to with the chamber after graduation of that program, it was just amazing to see community coming together and the people coming together. And I think for me, that's something very positive that I'm seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing. I think anytime we see stuff in the community happening, there, you know, like you said, there's so many things that can be a distraction that are challenges, whether they're completely categorized as bad, as a bad thing, or just something that we need to fix and help along. But you're right, it does distract us from this stuff. And then you have something like this where you see this community. And one thing that was so amazing to me when I saw the businesses going through the accelerator program from each of the different cohorts they had was the complete diversity and types of businesses in the backgrounds of people running the businesses or just getting started. People, sometimes they've opened several and sometimes they've had no business experience, and they're all coming together to help each other.
Yeah. I mean, we had somebody in there who their business has been open for 10 years.
Mm.
They were just like, I'm here to learn how to do it better.
Yeah.
You know, people who wanted to start a business, couldn't start a business, but then they're there. They're like, oh, I could do this.
Right.
You know, and that's great to see. I think the people coming together for a common goal, I know it sounds so cliche to say that, you know, and it's such a trope when it comes to, you know, asking somebody, what do they love about the community? You could say that, but I mean, that was the first time I truly felt that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And I keep in touch with quite a few of those business owners.
Oh, I love that.
It's just because we offer so many different services, you know, we'll get to that, but we offer so many different things that, you know, we have things to help others. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's interesting about those programs too, is sometimes people show up with an idea. Someone will show up and they say, I think this is great. And then people start asking them questions, and not in a pick it apart and diminish it way, but in a, you know, how do you make this into a business? And a lot of times people might find that there are things they need to better define in order to make the dollars work for it to be sustainable. Yeah. Or sometimes they find out that, wow, I didn't even realize how big this could be as a business and how many things it could touch. And so right. You just have both things happening, and it's just fun to see it come alive.
No, it really is. Like, there was a woman in there who was just like, I don't know how to define what I want to do. I know what I want to do. And then by the end of the six weeks, she knew what she wanted to do. It was there. And just,
that's
a short time to see that, you know, form,
yeah.
And, you know, and turn out, but it was just seeing everybody's excitement in there, just really, and the fact that we didn't have to do anything but apply and show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They expected nothing else from us. And we were all like, all right.
Yeah. It's all about the showing up. I mean, you got to, even when you're just showing up to get out of bed in the morning, it's like, you just got to do that one thing a day to move things forward.
Yep. I agree with that one. 100%. I'm a firm believer in the thought of keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's going to sound funny. I was watching the movie Meet the Robinsons back, the one when it came out.
Oh,
and that was like the tagline in the movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
I honestly was a little inebriated one night when I watched it, and I was like, you know, let's talk about this, keep moving forward. And I just, since then, I just like unpacked the whole idea that I had with myself about it and kind of adopted it. Cause I mean, that's all we have to do is keep moving forward. Like, things are going to happen. Things are going to, you know, suck every now and then. But if you keep moving forward, things can potentially get better.
Mm-hmm. I wish that there were lessons like this from movies that are kids' movies that I actually watched as a kid, that I learned the lesson early on enough in life that I would have been like,
they didn't care about
hit that home run.
They didn't care about our generation like that. They're like, oh, here's E.T.
Right.
Here's Gremlins. Enjoy. Yeah. Like, there was no lessons in either one of those.
True. Yeah. I think the kids movie that oddly stuck with me is that is Babe, about the little pig that.
Oh, I'm very familiar.
You know the movie. Well, there's that line in there where it's Farmer Hoggett's looking at this pig that is acting like a sheepdog, and he wants to train it, and he says, Farmer Hoggett knew that little ideas that won't go away can't be ignored. And I've always thought that with like the things I've wanted to do with my business. And it's like if that's always been in the back of your head that you want to do this thing, or you need to try this thing, or you want to go after it, there's a reason why it's bugging you. You have to stay on it and you have to make it happen.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that can't be ignored, Kevin, we got to talk about your awkward. So what is that thing that you've had to own?
My wife noticed it, and I really thought about it before, like when I was getting everything scheduled, I started to think, what is my awkward? And I was like, oh God, it's, I don't know if it's awkward or if it's like idiot savant, but it revolves around like movies and music and how I watch, I listen to music very differently, and I watch movies very differently than a lot of people do.
Okay.
It might be awkward for you. It might be awkward for me. And some people might be watching me going, you know, it's not awkward at all. That actually makes sense, because it does make sense. So when I get like a new album that I'm really excited to listen to, I listen to it 3 times in a row, whole album. And the first time I'm listening to it, I'm just listening to it to listen to it. Just listening to it to enjoy the album.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I go back and listen to the album, I really focus on the words that were written for these songs. And I focus on what is being said more so than the overall vibe of the album.
Okay.
The third time I go through and I listen to the production. And I listen to the instrumentation. I listen to the way it was mixed. Okay. Because I've been doing music for so long, and I still produce, I still engineer. And I've been engineering on my own for going on 7 years now. So I've learned so many different things. I hear things differently now. And I'll be sitting in the car, we'll be just driving on going somewhere. I'll be like, yeah, I really just don't like the way that tone sounds. And she's like, well, what tone? And I'll point it out. She's like, that's my husband. And then she keeps it pushing. And, you know, and I watch movies the same exact way. I watch it through to see if it's enjoyable. Especially if it's a movie I'm really looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Is it enjoyable? How was the dialogue? Do I feel like it was lazy writing? And then I look at overall, like, theme of movie, special effects, if there are any, music, like the soundtrack of the movie is what I really listen to, because nobody releases soundtracks anymore.
Yeah.
I could go off for an hour on that. And that I listen to that. So
true. You used to get like the really good soundtrack for specific movies.
The soundtrack, like, you'd be like, what's on this one?
Yeah.
Oh, we have 12 songs.
And a lot of times they were really different genres because they're pulling from different scenes of the movie.
So many different genres. That's what I hate about the movie soundtracks now.
Yeah. Like,
everything is one genre of music for a movie. Like,
they contract with the one band to do all the songs for that.
Right. Yeah. Or it comes down to it's only rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if it's rock and roll, what's the subgenre of rock and roll that it is? Or you get, you know, some movies where it's like, oh, well, it's a whole rap soundtrack. Like, is it an old school movie? Is it from the 80s? Like, is the music from the 80s because the movie is about a bunch of guys who grew up in the 80s? Is the movie from the 2000s and it's these young, like, are they called younger millennial? I'm a Xennial, so I don't know. But these younger millennials who are like 30 to 25.
Oh, right.
And they're listening to the early 2000s, like when 50 Cent came out, and, you know, like they're listening to all that in the movie, and you're like, God, what happened to a soundtrack? What happened to a soundtrack that moved through the movie?
Right.
But yeah. Then I think, what happened to the soundtrack where a genius takes over, and I think it's 13 songs, and his name is Prince. That's who it is. The Batman, the original movie Batman soundtrack.
Okay.
One of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time.
Isn't that the one that has Seal on it? Kiss from a Rose?
No. Okay. You're thinking Batman Forever with George Clooney.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Prince did the whole record for the whole album for that one. And that, if you get a chance to go listen to it, go listen to it, because it is phenomenal.
Okay. So I gotta dig in a little bit here. So first of all, when you're listening to a song or an album or a movie and you're watching it that first time, is it hard for you to put your head in one headspace where you're just enjoying it versus now I'm going to listen to the lyrics versus now I'm going to pay attention to the production? I know I would have a hard time saying I'm listening from this capability right now and set the others aside.
I would have to say I don't have a problem doing it, because I also am high functioning ADHD. And for me, it's very easy for me to hyper focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to listen to this album. I need to listen to this new Kendrick album. I want to hear it. What's the vibe of it?
Okay.
It's easy for me to just be like, what's the vibe? Because if it's just the vibe, I'm just moving around like the home studio here, or I'm doing something and I'm just listening to the vibe of the music. I'm in the car, I'm listening to the vibe of the music. So then it's like, okay, now I want to listen to the lyrics. So I'll just sit there and do the same thing. Only this time I will focus more on the voice versus everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time, it's purely I'm just listening for everything that I want to know. Why did they do it like that in the production?
Yeah. Okay. And I can appreciate that, because when I hear song lyrics, sometimes that I've heard the song several times and kind of misquoting, singing along and not realizing what the lyrics are. Maybe I know the chorus and all of a sudden I hear the story behind the song, or I see the lyrics written down. Or a lot of times if I'm at karaoke, I'll notice that where you see the lyrics on the screen. It's like, I never knew that's what that said.
Right.
And sometimes it's mind blowing in a very inspiring, good way, where you're like, wow, now I love this song even more. So I've had those moments where now I change my appreciation or even lack of appreciation for the song, but I haven't done it purposefully. And you know, sometimes it's like 10 years after the song came out and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a thing.
I'll give you one. My wife and I just watched the documentary on Netflix on Wham.
Okay.
We watched it, I think, 3 weeks, well, a month ago, because my birthday was a month ago. So we watched it a month ago. I've been stuck on this documentary since we watched it. I am a George Michael fan.
Mm-hmm.
Love George Michael, love Wham. Like, Everything She Wants is probably my favorite Wham song of all time, because it's just, it's perfect. And this, roll with me on this, because I'm going to get to that. So we're watching this documentary, and they're talking about how George and Andrew produced their own stuff.
Okay.
These were 19, 20, 21 year olds.
Wow. Okay.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Producing their own songs, deciding what's going to happen, and the labels letting them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they created masterpieces.
Wow.
Doing that together. So now I went for the next 2 weeks, I listened to nothing but Wham. Because I wanted to hear, after finding out that piece of information, I wanted to hear if I could hear that, like, I wanted to hear what they really did.
Right.
And it gave me a new appreciation for listening to their records.
Okay.
So, you know, that's, I think that's, to me, I think that's pretty damn awkward.
Mm-hmm. So you said your wife noticed this. Did you, were you aware of the way you were approaching this before she pointed it out?
I was like, every now and then I'd be like, why do I do that? And but I thought about it after she said something. We've been together 9 years. So she mentioned it pretty dang quick into the relationship. So I started noticing it. I thought back to all the times I listened to something, watched something. I was like, did I really dissect the whole thing like this? And I think about the movies that I know I've watched more than six times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I've done that with this movie every single time. Like, I like the movie Layer Cake. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's beautiful. Daniel Craig, early 2000s.
Okay.
It's about a drug dealer who wants to get out the game, but they never tell you his name throughout the whole thing. It's very Guy Ritchie-esque without being Guy Ritchie.
Okay.
If you ever watch it, you'll understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I dissected the crap out of that movie. Like, I watched it the first time. I was like, what just happened? Like, I didn't understand the ending.
Right.
Like, I was like, what just happened? So I literally in that same weekend watched it three other times. And I was like, oh my gosh, I get it.
Right.
I get it. Because I went through, I watched it, because I watched it that first time just watching it.
Yeah.
So I went back and watched the second time because I wanted to hear more of what they were saying.
Right. Yeah.
And then the last time it was like, what's happening in the background that I'm not hearing? Because there were a lot of scenes the first time I watched it. I'm like, oh, wait, what? How did that happen?
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that, where we've seen a movie or a scene from a movie a second time where we know where it ends up going. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, I didn't pick up on that the first time, but now I'm seeing it. It's like, oh, it was right in front of us the whole time. And my eyes weren't focused on that.
I was going to say, that's, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Now, does that, did that come up with your wife from a stop taking the fun out of it and analyzing it, I'm just trying to enjoy the show, or was it observational?
I think we were with her best friend and her now ex. We were always at their place, and we were always like talking about, he and I were always talking about movies and comic books and music, and we would literally wax poetic on these Marvel movies. And then one day Liz was like, oh no, we can't watch that movie because Kevin's going to talk about this. I'm like, like, okay.
You're like, okay, I guess it's a thing.
But yeah, I guess, yeah, this is a problem, but I guess this is a thing.
So how has that, you know, once you've become aware of it, how has it affected how you get into conversations and how you use that information now that you know that you're dialing in like that?
Oh, if I hear somebody nerding out and they want to really nerd out on a conversation and it's music related, I will sit there and talk with them for hours and be like, hey, but did you hear this? Mm-hmm. Did you hear the fourth guitar in the background on this song? Did you hear that that was a double bass for half the song, but it was only a single bass for the rest of the song? Like, and I'll talk about these songs that are like 11 and a half minutes long that I've heard. And you just kind of just fall into.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a very discerning ear. I feel like sometimes my sensory skills are, whether it's taste or smell or hearing, people talk about things where they can pick this level of detail out, whether it's, I would just hear guitar and not even notice the difference between bass and lead. And you're like, but did you hear the fourth guitar? I'm like, I heard a guitar. I didn't know there were more than one.
Like when you see a band for the first time, you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Not just one guitar, a drummer, and a singer. There's two more guitar players, a bass player, a keyboard. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I noticed that early on when I was a kid. And that's the other thing about music, is I've always been able to be in a room where the music is loud, but I can't be in a room where there's like 500 people and it's kind of really loud with those voices.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be in that. Like, that gives me anxiety.
Okay.
But when I'm in a room, like if I'm at a concert, I don't care that the music is loud, because I'm listening. I'm listening intently to what's going on in the music, because that's why I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you hear the music better if your like eyes are closed and you're not, like, do you have to tune in to hear it better so you can focus on the listening? Or can you, if you see what they're doing, does that help you kind of know?
It depends on the song.
Okay.
It depends on the song. If it's like, like Funkadelic Maggot Brain, like another good song, if you ever get a chance to listen to it, it is 10 and a half minutes long.
Mm.
First time I heard it, I think I was like 13 years old. And then I would listen to it all the time. It was like the one that would help me go to sleep at night. Because it's like a funk rock, like melodic lullaby.
Okay.
And it gets heavy a little bit in the middle at the crescendo of it, but it's okay. Because it just adds on to the feeling. And I highly recommend that song. Mm-hmm. If anybody just wants to just zone out, you want to vibe out, put that on, enjoy.
All right. So, you know, we talked about music and movies and kind of the, you know, both kind of aspects of watching Breaking Apart. And I'm sure, like anything, if there's a genre that you love or a style, like when you talk about Wham, it's like, oh, I could go on about that for hours.
Right.
But regardless of style, how have you learn to really lean into this and use it to push you forward in what you're doing in life?
That's a very good question. I use it to just to double, triple check myself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Really more so over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, like 2020 got to everybody. I know, you know, being at home and not be able to go anywhere or do anything. Like, that got to a lot of people. I made a lot of music in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it just, that helped me to keep moving forward through 2020, because 2020 just kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad for us for as far as business went, probably around the end of 2020, like around our company anniversary time. And it just was really, like, I hated my job at the time. I didn't want to be there anymore. And it was like, I just have to keep moving forward and keep listening to myself and listen to myself say, you can keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You can move forward. You know, you're worried about nothing right now.
Right.
Like, and I'm talking to myself, you know, they say, if you answer yourself when you talk to yourself, you know, but I think we all do it. So mm-hmm. That's one of those things. It's being able to look at a situation three times and be like, okay, what's what in the situation? What did we do? Where didn't what we did work? Where could it have worked better? And where did it work the most? You know, it's just kind of a three-step process, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because when you talk about like taking that mindset and shifting it into what you're doing with business, where you can say, well, are we putting out the right vibe? Do we feel good as a business? How does this feel to experience? And then, well, how good are the lyrics? How good is the structure of what we're putting behind it? And then how well did we produce or execute? It's like you can kind of take that same mindset and now go, okay, I got to look introspectively now and put my own eyes back on what I'm doing or what we're doing. And it seems like having developed that practice really helps, especially when you hit these times that, like with 2020, where the world gets put on hold and we all have things that no one expected to deal with to that level. And you're like, what am I going to pull out of my tool bag to get through this?
Right. No, that's exactly what it is. Like, you can use that way of thinking in so many different situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure chefs use it every day.
Sure.
Especially when they're trying to come up with something new.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a patented model you can have of like, here's Kev's plan. You know, just go through.
Here's Kev's three-step method.
Three-step process. three-step relationship. Are the vibes good? Are the lyrics good? What are you saying to each other?
Right. Like, are you really want to say that? Your mom's going to listen to this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So how have you found that has affected what you've been doing as you've now kind of gotten away from 2020? You've got a lot going on.
I mean, since then it's served me so much better. I think everything is because I kept on using it and like got it, you know, next step. How do I get here? What do I need to do? How do I need to execute? And you know, I've done a lot of things I didn't think I was going to do. Opportunities I didn't think I was going to get as far as music production and whatnot. You know, it's been, I don't want to say it. It's been just a lot brighter. It's made everything brighter. Mm-hmm. It's just made everything move along a lot smoother, you know, and because, you know, once you get to that second part, you should already be thinking about the first part of the next one.
Right.
You know, and just how it keeps on moving forward. So I'm trying to figure out now, how do I keep everything I got going on moving forward?
Yeah. I love that you use the word brighter, because sometimes the more we know, the scarier things can get, right? It's like, oh, there's absolutely all this stuff now for me to worry about or be afraid of or that needs to be fixed. Yet there's also so much more opportunity and so much growth potential. And if we can see it from that perspective and say, oh, I might have some things that are, like you said in the beginning, that are challenges that are distracting us from the good. But if I can focus on the good, then the possibilities are endless.
Right. 100%.
Right. So tell us about For Evergreen and what you have going on and how the best ways that are for people to support what you're doing.
No, absolutely. So For Evergreen started out as an apparel company. I was doing I'm still doing music and performing, and I just got tired of having merchandise at the house. So I was like, let me design something that everybody would like, not just something that has my name on it. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's see how this goes. So we started in 2018, and then early 2019, I started to become more community focused and region focused about it, because it is about the Pacific Northwest. It's where I'm from. It's where I've grown up, and it's a place I love. So I wanted to just tell the world about it. And how can I do that? Well, I'm a small business. I like to support small business. Let's talk to these businesses. Let's talk to these individuals like yourself who are doing something really dope, and we want to tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought on our marketing manager, Liz, and her and I and my wife, we just talked for, I think, like 20 minutes, and I gave her the rundown. I was like, I want to call it 7 Question Sunday. I want it to be on Sundays. I want it to be at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Boom, new one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both like, that's a really great idea. It's a great name. So we just kind of went through and we've refined it. We've done 205 of them since 2019. So we refined the process and kind of how we want to do everything, the questions. But yeah, I mean, it's been one of those things where we just want to tell people about Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to tell them about it, what they should see, what the why. I mean, it's, again, it's, if you go come to someplace like Tacoma, I know what restaurants to send people to. Right. It's not going to be the big fancy ones that most people want to go to. I'm going to send them to Dusty's Hideaway. You know what right. I mean? I'm going to send them to Boathouse 19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, send them to Lefty's. And, you know, really let people know that this is more than Seattle. Right? Right. Up here, people think, oh, you're going to Washington? Oh, you're going to Seattle? No, I'm going to Bonnie Lake. Well, where's Bonnie Lake? It's by Auburn. What's Auburn? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So being able to showcase these businesses and these people of the region and letting everybody know about them, where they can find them, and who they should go see, who they should go, you know, go to a flower store, or who should go to this bakery over here or the coffee stand over here, you know. And then we kind of wanted to do something else other than just apparel. And now we are dipping into the body care line. We have a beard and body butter, a brown sugar coffee, body scrub for the shower, made with coffee from Campfire Coffee. And we have that. We have our bar soaps. And, you know, we're also helping businesses by jumping into the commercial game, the content game, with helping businesses who don't have the time or don't know how create their content. So that's really what the focus is right now.
You've got your fingers in a lot of different things, but
yes,
what's great is that it all is centered around the small business community right here.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one good thing that came from the accelerator was one of the ladies in the class was like, hey, I have this yearly farmer's market. You know, do you guys want to be a part of it?
Mm.
And I was like, because we were getting ready to launch the body care products. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
Right.
You know, so my wife and I, we made all the product ourselves. So we took probably about 3 days to get everything put together. And then we had to get our labeling and, you know, all the packaging and whatnot. But, you know, that's something else that came out. I mean, that's community. That's like, and her name is Tracy. She owns the Cougarware store out there in Gig Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Super great lady. And I was just like, yo, if I wouldn't have came here, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. And you wouldn't have likely had that conversation if you were having that over a Zoom necessarily, you know.
Exactly.
Getting the time where you're standing next to each other. I think we met, I feel like it was one of the Chamber After Hours events.
It was Coffee with the Founders.
Okay. Okay. That's okay.
For Startup 253.
Gotcha. Yeah. I remember it was one of those networking type events locally. And yeah. Like, we've been connected for probably a couple of years now on Instagram.
Right.
Like, oh, you're that guy and you're that guy. It's like, and that's the thing that I love about our community here is that I am continually meeting people. And so many times we're having that conversation where people are like, how did you guys not already know each other? And how do you guys not already know each other? Because there's so many people doing such amazing stuff.
Uh-huh.
But the community just continues to grow. And it's not like, I don't want to know that guy. It's no, there's just so many people that are doing great things in our community.
It's hard to know everybody.
Yeah, it is.
It's very hard to know everybody.
Yeah. But those conversations like we had where you're having a coffee together and there's the group and you kind of step aside to, you know, whoever's around and all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is what we have going on. I think you had weren't you sporting your new like sack thing?
Yeah. I was sporting. It's not leg. Our product. It's not our product, unfortunately. I wish I would have came up with that. But I had that and I got one for Quincy because I know they're always camping and whatnot and it would serve them well. But yeah, no, I mean, that's what it's about. It's like, I've had Quincy tell me like 100 times, how do you not know this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Because I really just started going to networking events here within the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I don't know.
I'll tell you, when I was in corporate. I worked with a lot of businesses, but they were, I was working through the distributors. So I didn't work one-on-one. And it was also the whole, you know, Northwest region. So it wasn't Tacoma focused as much.
Right.
But I grew up in Tacoma. I've lived here my whole life. And when I started my business, I remember being at a conference that I go to every year that is all about helping learn your skills for your business. And I was realizing that I need to get better at networking. This is beginning of 2019. And I remember thinking, I grew up in this town my whole life and I don't know any of the right people, or I'm not connected with the business community in my own town, because I've worked with people from all over the world and stuff in different ways because of the business I was in. But it's like, but that's not helping what I'm doing here. And it's like, I feel disconnected in this place that I've lived my whole life on a business level.
Right. So
I started making it my mission to focus on being connected in Tacoma with businesses. And now I feel like there's days where I'm like, I feel like I've met everybody there is to meet, but then you go to an event and I'm like, I only know 10 people here and there's 200 people right. here.
Right. Right. You know, and that's interesting because it works like that with music as well. Mm-hmm. When I was doing music all the time and just being doing shows and whatnot, people would ask me, hey, you should link up with so-and-so, you know them. I'm like, no,
I right. don't. Yeah.
I really wasn't networking with people when I would go to events. Mm-hmm. I would go to check it out because I felt awkward. Like, yeah. like, because most in life, most of the time, if you just walk up to somebody, start talking about something, they're like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
You know, and I didn't want that to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was me for the longest time. And then just really the last 2 years, it's been a thing where I'm like, yeah, I'll go to a networking event. Let's see what they got going on.
Yeah. And it's funny, when I first started going to events, I'd have the stack of business cards. It's like, okay, I got to meet as many people, get as many cards, give out as many cards as possible. And then I would never follow up because we'd have some emails to grab a coffee, but it wasn't sustainable to try to have coffee with 20 people in 2 weeks. And so nothing was very good quality at first. And I finally evolved to the place where I go to an event, if I have a couple great conversations or even one that just pushes things along, I'm happy. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have one or two really good conversations out of that event than have met 30 people that I can't remember the connection.
You're absolutely correct. That's why it's easier to focus on one or two people. If you get a third person in there, hey, all right.
Yeah.
But then you don't feel overwhelmed. You don't feel the obligation
mm-hmm.
to talk to everybody in the room.
Yeah.
I did sales a long time ago and I got taken to a sales event and someone's like, no, you need to talk to everybody in this room today. And I was like, we're here for 3 hours. That's start doing the calculation. It's gotta be like 3 minute conversation per person. Like, no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And how heard and seen is that person going to feel when they feel like you're speed dating with them?
Exactly.
So I love that. Well, we have in the description of the episode, you guys, in the notes, there are links to all of Kevin's social media website, all that good stuff. But Kevin, what's the best place for them to find you? People are driving along and listening, and where do you live the most that you like? If you're going to go support me, go here.
Campfire Coffee.
All right.
Like I love to support Quincy and Whitney, and I like Campfire Coffee. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't a huge coffee drinker before that, but I am now, and I enjoy it. It's just a place where if somebody's like, hey, let's meet up, let's get a drink or something. I'm like, no, let's go Campfire.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I do every time.
All right. So should they connect with you through any particular social media if they want to?
You could just ask them. You know, it depends. If they're looking for the music, they can find me on my personal one, which I'll send that over to you. I don't think I put that in there. But if they just want to know more about Forever Green, if they want to support Forever Green, if they, you know, anything, just go to all the Forever Green, at Forever Green PNW on every social media platform. And then, as you said, you'll put all the links down there in the description. So, yeah, just find us there. You know, myself and our marketing manager run the Instagram. So you're either talking to Kevin or you're talking to Liz. Mm-hmm. So.
Perfect. So you got direct access to the man. Be sure to ask him what he thinks about some movie or song that you've listened to lately and really get him engaged.
Well, let's do it. Let's talk about that. I like that.
Nice. Well, before we sign off here, I like to ask what you might challenge our listeners as a way that they could own their awkward in their weeks coming up ahead.
Just show yourself grace with it. Really, don't get down on yourself. Whatever your awkward is, it's not that serious to where you need to be upset about it. Like, everybody is awkward in some way. It's just one of those things. So don't get down on yourself about it. Own it. That you find the right people when you own it. Like being authentically 100% you, you find the right people. So our authentic selves are awkward.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That is so true. I think how many times I know that I was afraid to just be myself because I was trying to make sure I didn't scare anybody away, or like, you know, you got to balance all the politics of like trying to keep everybody happy. And yet as soon as you just stand up and be whoever you are, that just attracts whoever are the right followers, the right supporters, the right family for you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I love it. Well, Kevin, you're an inspiration. You're doing great things out there. I love how much support you're giving to our community, to the Northwest. And it's an inspiration for small businesses all over the place to just get out there and support each other, because there's space for everybody. We can all help each other and we can learn from each other. And I think it's inspiring. It's educational, and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. We enjoy it. We love what we do, especially because it gives us an excuse to go on an adventure in the Pacific Northwest, take some photos, write about it, let people know.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Kevin. Keep doing what you're doing. And everybody else, be sure you go out there. And as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.